Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Merkel Media.
I guess it's time to go back in time.
Are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Time is but a stubborn illusion.
I have a lot of memories of the past.
People are time traveling within themselves.
Time travel is possible.
Hey everybody, just want to let you know we have episode 100 coming up very soon, and I announced it on last week's show. We are going to do something special for episode 100. What we're going to do is on December 9th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to do a live show on YouTube with me and my brother Jack, aka Young Merc. You don't want to miss this show. We're going to call it Ask Tony Anything. And what you're going to do is I just want you guys to send in your questions, any question you have, whether it's about the show, about my life, where I come from. I don't care what the questions are. It could be about philosophy. I don't really care. If you have a question that you want me to answer, your question could be read on air. So definitely get on that. And to ensure that you do not miss this show, go to YouTube.com, look up The Confessionals on YouTube, hit subscribe to The Confessionals YouTube channel, and hit the little bell so that it reminds you when we go live. Definitely don't miss out on this show on December 9th, 2018 at 6:30 p.m. on The Confessionals YouTube channel.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg and I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Okay, I reloaded.
Yep. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkel. Thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or a story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the connection section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me. Just get a hold of me. Now, this week's show, we have David coming on and we have Kim coming on, but David will be first, and he's going to share his Bigfoot experience when he was up in the mountains practicing his music in his SUV. When he looked in his rearview mirror, he describes the face of this thing that he saw. And then he shares some paranormal experiences that he had. And then we bring on Kim, who actually had a lot of different paranormal experiences, including him dating a white witch, seeing shadow figures, and finding bones in his home that were not originally there. They just kind of showed up. And there's a lot of different stories that he has to share. So really, guys, sit back and relax, because this week's show is filled with information. It's going to be a very fun show. I hope you enjoy it. Let's go. Okay, tonight I have a great guest coming on. I have David. And David, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really great, Tony. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So we have some good stuff here to talk about. You first contacted me about a Bigfoot experience you had, and we're going to get into that right away. But then you have some more paranormal things you'd like to talk about that happened at a friend's house, and you actually saw a full-body apparition another time. So we'll get into that a little bit later here, but let's just start out with the Bigfoot experience. Let us know, you know, what you were doing and how did this all unfold for you.
Okay. Let's see, from the beginning. Well, at the time, I was living in Carson City, Nevada. And if you know Carson City, Nevada, I'm sure some listeners do, it's just a flat land, but you got the Sierras to the west. And there's a spot, what's called King Street, and you can take King Street all the way up to Timberline. And that's where I used to go and park my car late at night and play guitar, sing, write music. That way I can, like, whoa, you know, sing really loud and not worry about people hearing me.
Right.
And so, yeah, and I've done that many times. Well, this one night, and this was 2003, and I was up there and I was playing, I was writing, and I was really grooving on what I was doing. I was really impressed. I'm like, yes, I got a new song. And then I hear something. I hear something rattling. Of course, I have my windows down for circulation. But I hear something in the bushes. Now, mind you, it was a very well-lit night. Was it a full moon or just past? Something like that. It was very bright. So I'm like, all right, it's probably a rabbit. You know, there's a lot of rabbits out there. So I don't think anything of it. And so I just keep jamming away. And so, you know, duty calls. So I get out. And mind you, I'm in nature. There's no bathroom. So I go out and I do my thing. And then I hear more shaking. And it sounds big. And it sounds kind of freaky. So I finish my business really quick. And I get back in the car. Well, it was an SUV. And then I roll up the window a little bit. You know, like, just enough so no arm can come in. And then, you know, and so I started playing some more. And then, you know, I just happened, it was so light outside. I happened to like kind of look in the back. And at that time, actually, I thought it might have been somebody hiking, but that's not what really happened. It's late and you're up in the mountains. But then I hear this stuff again, and the sagebrush. And sagebrush gets big out there. And it's rattling and rattling. I look in my rearview mirror, and I see this face. I think I see a face, right? A big, big face. It was a big face. And I didn't know what to think of it, so I put on my brakes. So it would light up red in the back. And sure enough, there was this big face staring at me. I mean, I like to think he was a fan of my music, but, you know, there's a big old face there with a heavy brow, and then hair on the sides, right? It looked exactly like Mr. Hyde from, Van Helsing. It looked just like that. Huge head. Except he wasn't smoking a cigar, but a huge head, heavy brow, big. I couldn't see past what looked like lamb chops, you know, the hair on the side.
Yeah.
But heavy head. And And as soon as I did that, and what's really weird about that is that it takes a few seconds of realization of terror. You know, you see it, you're looking at it for a second, and then all of a sudden, holy crap, oh my goodness, I'm out. I turn on my car, I'm just out of there. And it wasn't easy to do because it's a very bumpy ride, but I think I damaged my suspension going down the hill. But I was going so fast and it was so scary. And I was like, wow, I just saw like some big, gigantic man. Now, mind you, that movie Van Helsing hadn't been out until the next year. And then when I watched Van Helsing at the drive-in in Sacramento with my then wife, I was like, that's what I saw, you know, except without the cigar. So that was my Bigfoot experience. If it was a Bigfoot, it was really Neanderthal-like.
Yeah.
Protruding mouth, a very protruding brow, and just hair along the roots. I mean, I'm sure he was full of hair, but what I could see would look like giant, like, you know, English-style lamb chops or whatever you call them. So, yeah, that was my so-called Bigfoot experience. Scared the living daylights out of me.
Yeah,
and needless to say, I started playing guitar in my own home after that. I didn't care if my roommates heard me or not. I said, screw them, I'm just going to play.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what was your knowledge of, you know, Bigfoot before this, you know, encounter? Did you ever hear of it? Did you know about it? Did you believe in it? Or was that something that was the furthest thing away from your mind when you saw this?
Not at all. Not at all. Bigfoot was nothing to me. Bigfoot was, I'm sure there's something up there in the great Northwest, but no, I really never thought that it would be in Carson City, Nevada, you know, right there by Lake Tahoe. I never thought I would see that. The thing is, it was either a Neanderthal Sasquatch or it was just a real big deformed person. But it really rocked my world, man. It really did. And never had nightmares about it because I moved far away, moved back to Sacramento. I don't think he'd follow me there. And that was actually right before I left Nevada. I went back to Sac. So yeah, that's my Bigfoot experience.
Yeah. So with this face that you saw in the bushes and stuff, I mean, you said it was big. I mean, could you tell us like how big it was? Like what the size of a basketball, a beach ball? How big was this?
Oh, I see the. All I saw was the head. Okay. And if I can look back on it right now in my mind's eye, I'd say it was as big as a basketball. It wasn't as big as a beach ball.
Okay.
I'd say it was a little, I don't want to say anything false. I would say at least the size of a basketball. And, you know, if I see anybody with a head, like, oh, how about a pumpkin? That's even better.
Okay.
Because those can get huge. But I have to say it was just an ungodly giant head.
Yeah.
And like I said, I got to that point where complete terror kicked in. And I just hightailed it out of there. I was scared. But now that when I think about it, I like to think that he was listening to my stuff and going, yeah, man, sounds good. You know?
Yeah, maybe he was rolling some doobies back there.
Actually, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he found some roaches on the side of my car. I'm from California, man.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he smelled it, you know, and came in for a drag.
Yeah, he liked it. And music, even if it sucks, sounds way better on pod. So anyway.
Awesome. So well, I mean, do you remember seeing the head move at all or eyes blink?
I saw it looking right at me. No blinks, looking right at me. I saw a lip move. I did see a lip move, but I didn't see teeth. I didn't see eyes blink. I didn't see any facial picture, but I did see a lip move. Like I can't even explain how the lip move is like an Elvis lip. Going very much kind of a lip move. So yeah, so that was that. And I went back there again, too, with my now girlfriend of 6.5 years. And I said, it's so beautiful. There's a waterfall up here. It's so beautiful. I saw a big, crazy dude, and it was cool. And she's like, right on. She's into it. And yeah, I took her up there, but nothing happened.
Well, that's probably a good thing. I mean, you don't want to push your luck. So,
here, take my girl, leave me. I'm joking. But that would have been an experience if she got to experience it. Because she's kind of like, she's not a knower like I am. She's more of a believer.
And gotcha.
So I'd like her to be a knower.
Yeah, well.
So that was that.
Yeah, man, that's not every day somebody gets to, you know, see a face in the bushes looking back at him, whether it's Bigfoot or not, you know, but it can definitely be scary. I mean, when you're out there in the middle of the night and you see somebody looking at you. So,
yeah, well, I will let you know this. It was about 11:30 at night. And if you're out there at 11:30 at night, I mean, I had my windows down, you know, because it was kind of warm. I like circulation, but if I was to be out, died just chilling in the bushes, I would have been freezing. I don't think it was a person, and I've never seen a person with a head that freaking big.
Yeah.
You know? And so I believe it was a Sasquatch. I really do.
Yeah, well, you know, it sounds like it. I mean, especially when you say that the head was, you know, abnormally large and huge and Neanderthal looking and things like that. I mean, that's really some of the classic things that people talk about when it comes to Bigfoot. So, you know,
yeah,
who knows, but that definitely sounds like a Bigfoot face to me. You know, why don't you talk to us a little bit about this, full body apparition that you saw?
Sure. Okay. Now this, oh man, this is a trip. Now I've always believed in ghosts. In fact, I thought they were just amazingly cool. But I never thought I'd ever see one, right? And so my girlfriend and I, we went up to Safeway or whatever. Can I say company names like that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. So we're coming back with some groceries. You know, we had a thing where I'd pull her on a skateboard. You know, of course, I'm the donkey. And so we come home. And this is in Carmichael, California now, okay? And I lived on... I forget the name of the street, Johnson Street, I think. And anyway, so I'm going home and we walk into the house and my girl, and I had a roommate and a daughter that we lived with. It was a beautiful house, about 100 years old. Lived there for 6 months, never had an issue, never felt weird. But so they're in the back, the roommate and the daughter in the back. She's like rehearsing for her. She's like, the dancer or whatever, rehearsing for her dad. And we come in and my girl that I'm with right now, God bless her heart. She says, hey honey, we're home. And as soon as she said that, now let me show you, give you the lay of the land here. You walk into the door, there's a kitchen on the right. And on the left is like a hallway. Well, it's just like a door area that you can walk through, but there's no door. It's just like a big rectangle of space. My bedroom's on the far left, the bathroom's in the middle, and the guest bedroom's past that. So I'm walking in, and as soon as she said, hey honey, we're home, I look and I see this dude walk from, it looks like my bedroom, our bedroom, past the bathroom into the guest bedroom, and I heard the door lock shut. I said, babe, I think Tony has a guest here, man. He just went out of our room when you said that. I think we spooked him. I think he was going through our stuff. She's like, no. I'm like, yeah, huh? And so we went in there, and she was just going to go open the door to the guest bedroom. I said, wait a minute. No, there's really somebody in there. I just saw them walk, and I heard the door shut. And we all, also, we had a lorikeet, which are really loud, right? And so, but it didn't make a peep. And so first I said, just knock. And we knocked, nothing. So we walked in, nobody in the room. I looked in the closet, nobody in there. It was so weird. And the bird was just chilling. you know, just chilling lorikeet, you know, doing his thing. And the windows are half moon size. Like, if the flat part is down and then it's, the round is on top, it's like a taco, and it doesn't have a lock. It's stationary. You can't open it. So nobody could have gotten out. So when I saw this, I was tripping. So then we went over to Tony, who was in the back room with his daughter. I'm like, Tony, I just saw somebody in your house, bruh. And he's like, what do you look like? And I said, well, he's about 5 feet tall, look Hispanic, possibly American Indian, shorter hair, not really shorter hair, but like past the ears, wearing gray, I'll never forget it, gray boxer briefs and nothing else. And he was stocking, huh. This dude was built, right? So he says, you know what, I'm going to tell you, sometimes when I'm laying at night, I see what you just described to me, guy fitting that description, walking towards my bed and then vanishing right before the bed. I was like, whoa. And then, so that was coinciding, right? And that was cool. And so because of that, we live next door to, and I can drop these names down because I don't know them anymore. But another dude named, well, never mind. I can't say it because I don't remember his name. Oh, Roger. Roger lived next door to us. And he was, he's part of the Taps family. You know those, the Taps family?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Ghost Hunters. Well, they're part of that. They're SPI. Sacramento Paranormal Investigators. Well, he lived next door. And like he was hanging out with guys like John Coffey, you know, all those guys. And so they set up a paranormal investigation in that house where I couldn't be in. They even brought a psychic, which I don't know about them. But that night, there was no wind at all. And when they were summoning this apparition, the shed doors were slamming shut. They had weird movement in the house, and the psychic picked up on a, I didn't tell you this before the interview, but they picked up on a little girl who had tubes in her nose. Well, Tony, the guy who owns it, lost his daughter and had died of some kind of a chest condition, and said there was a girl there, very friendly, is really close to your daughter, who has another daughter now, which made him, you know, just break down. But he says there's also a Mexican gentleman that lived here or worked here when it was being built. So that was that. And so the psychics kind of redeemed everything that we saw. And yeah. And, you know, that's when you go from being a believer to a knower, you know, on both places, Sasquatch. I'm a knower now. Ghosts, I know they're there, which totally helps me because I'm scared of hell of death. You know, I'm scared of like of just not existing. You know, I want to keep going on. And mm-hmm. I know with Christian beliefs, you don't. You just keep going on. And I'm really falling into that thanks to you. I'm really getting into that. But, so that was that.
Yeah. You know, I just want to comment on what you just said, because I was always scared of death my entire life. And I think that's just a natural thing for people to be scared of death and stuff. I mean, I'm much more, mentally, secure. Like I'm not scared of death anymore. Like I was, and obviously that does have a lot to do with, you know, my faith, but, I still do fear how I'm going to die, you know, because that's just something that fear that I think I'll always fear is the idea of how it's going to happen, because it could be slow and it could be fast. And I really, really, really wanted to go really fast, you know, so
like a headshot. That'd be cool.
It'd be perfect. It'd be perfect. Just put the barrel right on my forehead, you know, and I'm good.
So, no. Yeah. You don't want the, what is it? Edgar Allan Poe, the pendulum. You don't want that.
Exactly. I don't want any
sawed off away little yeah. by little.
I don't need torture. No, I don't need cancer. I don't need any of that.
None of that. you know, and it's stupid. And I just lost my brother to cancer, so it's really hard. And
I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay, man. You know, you live, you die, and it sucks that he survived. But guess what? He's where he needs to be now, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the third one. You ready for the third one?
Yeah, let's do it. Go ahead.
All right, man. So this one, I was in my good friend. Her name's Jennifer. I was in her house, and she had a build-on, right? Like a patio build-on. And that's where we used to party. And no, I wasn't all loaded or anything, but that's where we used to hang out, drink a couple beers. And yes, it was California, but we weren't smoking pot.
Okay.
I need to make that clear. Because, you know, when you smoke that California pot, man, you see all things. But we're in her little bedroom thing, thing that she built. And I was playing guitar, right? I think we were listening to some Mother Hips and playing or whatever. And it was jamming. And all of a sudden, we hear the door open and shut. Now, her mother lives there. But we hear this door open and shut, and we hear bonk, 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 bonk. And you can't see from the door because there's so much stuff. There's like cabinets and stuff. We hear bonk, bonk. You hear the creaks of the floor moving. Brank, brank, brank. And I swear to you, right when it's about to be around the corner, oh my goodness, nothing there. We got so scared. She knew her house was haunted by her great-grandma and her father. And she always used to tell me that. And so I ended up walking in the house. And I heard a boosh in the other room. We walk into the house. Me first. So. And I'm seeing it. She saw this too. A box of Oreos suspended in air and then dropped. Now, I want to know how in the heck that happens in science. So that's just, you know, and so that freaked us out. Needless to say, I left. And I think I went and got some vodka after that. But, you know, I was done. Never went back, I think, after that. I was scared. Look, Bigfoot, you can see it, right? Ghosts, you can't see it. You don't know what they're going to do. Anyway, at the same time, it's so fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I think all this stuff is fascinating. Anything from cryptids to paranormal stuff to extraterrestrial to whatever. I just, even the idea of hunting down lost ancient, you know, cities and archaeology, like all this kind of stuff, the mystery of things is what really draws me in. So that's why I love hearing these different kind of stories, because it's very mysterious. And I feel like I haven't had anything like that happen to me in my life. So all I can do is listen to other people's stories.
Well, I'm not far from you, man. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of green mountains from Elmira, New York to where you are, man. Let's go find some Bigfoot.
Yeah. You know, it's if I ever actually have a Bigfoot encounter, I would share it on the show, and I would hope that people would believe me, because, you know, I'm not really looking to, lie about something like that. If I come out and I say I actually had a Bigfoot encounter, you pretty much can believe me, because I have zero interest.
You,
yeah. I was just thinking about that.
You're Tony Merkel, man. You're a man. Nobody would ever think you were a phony. Now me, I'm just some schmuck from California that moved to New York. Who believes me? Well, I mean, it did happen, but you know. But Tony Merkel, man, come on. You've been so honest with the fact that you haven't seen diddly squat. And once you do, they're going to know it.
If I do.
Come on, let's go do it, brother. Come on.
I've been trying.
3 hours away. Let's go camping.
I've been trying, man. It's definitely a lot harder than I thought it would be. When I first started looking for the Bigfoot, man, I was like, I'm going to knock this out in a year. And it's just not easy, man. It's just not easy. In fact, my one buddy who I used to go out with a lot before I started the podcast, he actually went out with another guy to an area that him and I have been interested in. His first time out there, he has serious activity going on, like loud, like yells, like almost like ape yells, like grunts and stuff at him. And he tells the story better than I do and stuff, but they definitely had activity in that area that night. I'm like, dang it. The one night I don't go out, you know, freaking A, you know, but it makes me wonder sometimes. It makes me wonder sometimes if it's me, I wonder if, you know, it's not my cards to actually have an encounter. I don't know.
It's not you, dude. Trust me. It's not you. It's not you. The Sasquatch people are just pissed off at you because you're talking shit about them all the time. It's not you.
I didn't think I was. I guess maybe I do a little bit.
Pick up on that psychic wavelength, man. They know what you're doing. They know the shows you broadcast. Dude, they supposedly they know everything. I don't know. I mean, crazy big ass sons of, you know what? Anyway. But yeah, so that was... Those were my encounters, and I just, I'm really honored to have been able to talk to you on the radio. It's been a long time coming, like a few months.
So. Yeah, yeah. I definitely have to schedule months and months in advance anymore because I just have so many interviews to do. I'm very grateful that everybody has been patient with me because...
Oh, I have a dear friend of mine that wanted me to say hi to you.
Oh, okay. Who's that?
Claudia Ackley.
Oh yeah, Claudia.
Yeah, she's my dearest friend, and she I told her, yeah, I'm gonna be on the show, and she's like, oh, tell him I said hi, I love him, he's great, you know, because she's such a great lady. I she's so great. And if anybody out there doesn't know Claudia Ackley, then you're lost.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say that, but
Man, she's suing the state of California to say Bigfoot exists. Yeah. Man, go rock and roll, girl. She's putting a lot online for that, and I respect her dearly.
Yeah, no, she's a good-hearted person. I actually just talked to her. I think it was last week. Her and I had a chance to talk for a little while. But very, very, very kind soul. Very kind soul. But I'll tell you what, man. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing these experiences. You're a very lighthearted individual. Very fun to talk to, and I really appreciate you coming on, man.
Oh man, and right back at you. I appreciate that compliment. Thank you, Tony.
Absolutely, David, man. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, you will. Talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, David, thanks for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it. Next up, we have Kim coming on. Kim, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Tony. How about you?
I'm doing well, man. So you're in Belgium, which is really cool. And when I got your email and you said, the first thing you said is, I'm in Belgium, I was like, wow, this guy's English is really well written. I mean, like, because the punctuation, the spelling, everything. I mean, you have really good English, man. I just want to let you know that up front. I was very impressed by your English, because especially since you and I were just talking and you said that it's been a couple of years since you actually spoke English. So well done.
Yeah, I tend to speak English sometimes, but not that often. But yeah,
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, man, I'm very impressed by your English.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, so you contacted me because you dated a white witch at one time, or I'm not sure if you're still with her or not, but the white witch felt a presence in the house many times, and from there, stuff happened. And so why don't you just kind of walk us into this storyline of, you know, first of all, I would say start with, you know, where did you meet this person that you dated? And, you know, how did they start, you know, sensing the things in the house? And then what were some of your experiences, man?
All right, man. All right. So about 5 years ago, I was living in a small farm town, like 10 kilometers away from the city I live in now. And when I moved about 4 years ago, nothing was really out of the ordinary. Everything was just like it. Yeah, like it was, like it had to be. And then after a year of living here, I met my ex-girlfriend. I'm not together with her anymore. She was indeed a white witch, but the kind who just studies and keeps it as kind of a hobby. And after a few times of her visiting my place, she said she kind of felt something. And, well, yeah, from there on, the nightmare began, like, then. Many strange things happened. But yeah, I'm not together with her anymore. We're still good friends, but yeah. I've had many weird, strange occurrences. Like, for example, breathing in my neck when I was asleep in my bed. Things falling over, stuff like that. But the biggest thing that kind of put me really on edge was the fact that on my unused attic, it was kind of like a panel in the roof of my bedroom and the ceiling of my bedroom. It was a panel that you could push upwards. And then you had kind of this unused attic, no floors, only isolation, no lights, anything like that. And I walked on that attic for like two times in the past. And then I went on it with a friend, kind of because we were curious and I wanted to show him that I indeed had an attic. And I found huge bones hanging from my support beams. I collected them, cops came, took the evidence. They took my statements. A day later, the news called. I told them the story. The cops just basically told me if the bones were human, that they would contact me, and I haven't heard them since. So yeah, now we're here.
Wow, man. So they haven't contacted you, so I guess you can assume that they weren't human, but did they look human?
They were definitely on the bigger side. One was about the size of a forearm, and a lot of smaller bones that were also hanging in some kind of satchel. I have no idea, a piece of cloth on a different beam. And yeah, we suspected those were chicken bones or something like that. And then I kind of realized when I found the satchel with the first bone, the tiny bones, that I didn't check further. And then I found two huge bones hanging directly above the hatch. And yeah, that kind of really, really put me on edge.
Wow.
But yeah.
So I know you said to me that you have actual video evidence of the bones and things like that. So what I'll do is I will post that on the show's description when we post this show. What are the chances that first of all, I guess I would say, I want to clarify with you that there was a time that you went into the attic and those bones weren't there, right? I mean, it's not like you could have missed it, right?
No, I couldn't have missed them. No way possible I could have missed those bones. As you will see in the video, the two big bones that were hanging right above the hatch were kind of on eye level. So yeah, back when I moved into this place with my mother and sister, me and my best friends actually went into that attic and looked around, and yeah, nothing was there, so we left the place. And then a year after, we kind of did it again just to make sure, and we still didn't find anything. And yeah, then suddenly bones. And yeah, I'm still confused to this day. This happened in November 2016. And yeah, to this day, I still don't know what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I know it can be confusing. Do you think, I shouldn't even say it like this, not that you, do you think, but what are the chances of your ex-girlfriend being involved in any way? I mean, I'm assuming she said she wasn't, or else there wouldn't be a mystery here, right?
Yeah, like, even if it was for kind of a practical joke, or maybe more, it's just not that kind of person to keep such a story going for more than a year. It's, yeah, no way in hell. But yeah, the bones, I kind of checked the state of the bones. There were a lot of very old spider webs, a lot of dusts, bone marrow that immediately fell out when I touched them. So wow. Yeah, it was like they were hanging there for like 10 years, man. That's, yeah, I can't explain it.
Wow. So it was like they were aged. So, I mean, you know they weren't there at one time. When you do find them, it looks like they've been there longer than you have.
Yep.
That's incredible. Incredible.
And I saw also on the wall, that was the strange part. I saw pretty recent electrical cables running for the lights on the floor below my bedroom. So yeah, I honestly don't know what to think of it.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, do you ever get the feeling that those were planted there? I mean, what are your conclusions with this? I mean, are you thinking that somebody actually went in your house and put them there? Or do you think there was some kind of maybe some supernatural type thing where they were, I don't know, hidden in another dimension, you know, and then they revealed themselves to you for whatever reason?
Honestly, Tony, I really have no idea what to think. At first, I started to suspect my friends pulling a prank on me, but it was actually my idea to venture onto the attic again after so long. That attic was always bad business. Every time the attic was open, for one reason or another, my ex-girlfriend sometimes said the presence was panicking and stuff like that. So I usually closed it pretty soon after. I honestly have no idea how those bones got there, actually.
Wow. Well, it's not just the fact that you found the bones there, though, because there's been other things. It's not like you just found the bones and that was it. There's been other things that have been happening in the house, like the hatch to the attic opening on its own, right?
Yeah, man. Like, the bones only came after, 2 to 3 years of the nightmare already being on its way. It basically started with me getting interested in the stories back, and the stories my ex-girlfriend had back in the day, the things she, experienced, and my interest grew, and it kind of made me also a bit scared, skeptical, didn't really know what to expect, what to think, and I honestly still don't know to this day if it's just me being paranoid and just thinking that every noise I hear is something else. I try not to, obviously, but just some things, man. Like, I've had periods for like 2 weeks that I felt ice cold breathing in my neck while trying to fall asleep. It's horrible. Wow. Like, I told you about my fan running earlier, right? My fan has to be on every single night because I just can't handle silence anymore. And to have some wind in my room, just in case I feel something move.
So you keep the fan running. So say you do feel cold breath on your neck, you can kind of brush it off logically and say, fan. Yeah.
That fan has helped me so many times, man. I have no idea.
You're tricking yourself knowing that you're tricking yourself. It's funny.
So yeah, it's kind of my my go-to method of calming myself down when I hear something. It's like, I'll just blame it on my fan.
So when you hear like whispers in the house, I know you said that you heard whispers in the house. Is the whispers that you hear, is it words that you can understand, or does it just sound like somebody talking in the distance?
Usually it's my name either, or just, incomprehensible, whispering. But I did have one time where another ex-girlfriend from like a year ago, she was staying over, and we slept underneath the hatch, and she went to bed earlier than me, and I followed soon after, and I accidentally woke her up, and she asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm just gonna grab some small thing from another room. And the moment I left that room, she stormed after me, barging in and exclaiming something had whispered very loudly in her ear. And the first thing I thought was like, why didn't that happen to me? Then I had evidence for myself, because still I don't know if everything is true or not.
Yeah, I guess I can understand that and stuff. I don't think I would want something whispering at me, though. So.
Me neither, but still,
I actually had that happen to me on a show, and a lot of people think that whatever came through as an EVP on my show during the recording says my name. I personally don't think so, and maybe it's just because I don't want to admit it and stuff, but I think that whatever it's saying, it says the name Tori, not Tony, but people think it says Tony, and they think it says get Tony or get out Tony. But Tori doesn't make sense, just because there was no Tori. It wasn't me. That was not my name. It wasn't my guest name. But it doesn't sound like Tony to me, and I'm sticking to it. So,
all right, whatever floats your boat, man.
So, you mentioned about how things have been thrown from shelves. Are these things that were in the kitchen, like knives, or what happened there?
Well, since this is a pretty big place, I kind of had the whole upper floor for myself underneath the attic. And I had a few rooms, my bedroom, kind of a living area, storage room. And basically, when I was chilling one time in my bedroom, I had like this huge shelf, and an ashtray and a book flew just right off it. From different shelves, and there was no wind whatsoever. All windows were closed, and I was standing next to the shelf, so I was pretty sure it didn't move at all. So, yeah, stuff like that. Hatch opening on its own many times. Yeah, pretty weird stuff, man.
Yeah, I've had my own experiences with things flying off of shelves or tables. I was at a Bigfoot conference last year speaking, and in the cabin, my brother and I experienced both our glasses flying off the table between our beds in the one cabin at separate times. So like the first time it was his, and then it was mine, and neither one of us could have done it both times in our sleep, because between our glasses was a lamp and our phones. And if we were reaching across to throw our glass, you know, his glasses off or my glasses off, we would have hit the lamp as well. But both times, separate times, our glasses flew across the room on the floor, and it freaked my brother out pretty much. I mean, he was pretty freaked out. The next day he packed up his stuff, put it in the car. And after I was done speaking, we went back to the cabin, and he's like, "I'm not going in there." it was so funny, but I was like, dude, ain't nothing. But we found a handprint on the door and stuff that night before that happened. And so it kind of freaked him out and stuff. The handprint was higher than me, and I'm 6 feet tall, and it's probably just above my head, and it was like going sideways across the door. And so it freaked him out. I didn't even think anything of it when it first happened. I was just like, huh, that's weird. But he's like, that's weird, that's crazy. And then we started hearing this tapping noise coming from the corner of the ceiling in the kitchen, and it was just like this rhythmic tapping. Like, it sounded intentional, and I was like, that's weird too. Like, I'm oblivious, I just don't know. I'm just like, whatever, you know, life is life, you know. So it's funny, yeah, stuff, man. Though, I mean, we go through life and we experience different things, and everybody reacts differently to this stuff. But was there any electrical equipment that went on and off and stuff throughout the house during this time?
I only had problems with a tiny electrical heater turning off sometimes, but yeah, I tend to not think too much about the electrical equipment acting weird. Oh yeah, a few weeks ago, actually, we were watching a movie on my friend's laptop in my old bedroom, and yeah, the mouse just kind of went haywire. The entire computer just kind of did stuff that, yeah, shouldn't do, like opening browsers and stuff and pausing and unpausing. It was weird. It was also, yeah, a new laptop, so yeah.
Yeah, that can be weird. You know, there could always be the you know, mechanical failure kind of thing, like electrical, yeah, stuff, but you know, when you have the history of this stuff happening, it makes you think, okay, you know.
Yeah, you can never be too sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know, you know, what's on TV over there in Belgium and stuff, but over here there's a lot of ghost shows on TV, and
yeah, we don't really have that much ghost shows on.
Okay. One of the popular things in these shows is that the ghost hunters will take a flashlight and they'll unscrew the head of it so that the light won't turn on unless you slightly turn it tighter, and then the light lights up, and they, mm-hmm, they unscrew it and they set it on like the edge of a table, and they start talking to whatever's there, asking them to turn the light on. And it happens. Like, sometimes they'll be, you know, watching these lights, and all of a sudden they start turning off on, and then they turn off, and it's interesting stuff. But clearly to me, throughout hearing all these people's stories and seeing stuff on TV, it's clear to me that sometimes these entities have the energy, the ability to actually manipulate physical things in our realm. And yeah, like you said about the things flying off the shelf and stuff, it's just, you know, it happens.
Yeah, man. Also, 2 months ago or something, one of my best friends started living here as well. My mom had to move out with my sister for health reasons. And he now occupies the entire top floor, my old place. And back when he was moving in, I was like, enjoy the house ghost, man. You'll love him. And he was super skeptical, kind of laughing it off. And suddenly one morning we wake up and he was laughing so loud, like I can't remember it. And he told me that one of the doors to the other rooms suddenly had a few knocks on them and it just slid open. And he had that happen, I think, 2 to 3 times now so far. So yeah, it's hilarious to me to write in his face that it wasn't all bullshit.
yeah, no, it's interesting, man. Very interesting stuff. But you've had some experiences with shadow figures, some kind of shadows in your house, or what happened there?
Yeah, like a week before one of my best friends moved in here, I went downstairs during the night, and I just saw this shadow standing near my front door. And when I walked closer, it just didn't move until I turned on the lights. And yeah, I was really, really freaked out. That kind of made me remember about that one time when my ex-girlfriend, the White Witch, was walking down the stairs with me, and she suddenly stopped right in front of me, because she said there was something standing right in front of her, wanting to go up the stairs. And yeah, that kind of freaked me out as well, because imagine just standing behind somebody saying they see something standing in front of them. It's it's not fun.
No, not at all. I mean, so when you see this shadow figure, I mean, what's going through your mind? I mean, you said you kind of referenced that you were scared or at least nervous. I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. I've never seen a shadow figure that I can remember. But, you know, I can't imagine what's going through your head at that moment when you're walking to the light switch.
Well, the main thing though that I was thinking was, am I seeing this correctly? Like, am I dreaming or not? I also still have one more little story left involving the bones, actually.
Oh, okay.
The evening that I found the bones, at one point, my sister and her boyfriend came home. I was still living with my mom and sister, and I told them, and her boyfriend's first reaction was, I dreamt in full detail of this moment last night. And I asked him a few questions, and he literally told me that all my actions, all my reactions as well, were on point with his dream. And that kind of made me wonder.
Made you wonder what? That's freaky.
I know, man, I know.
Wow. Well, you know, it's interesting stuff for sure, you know, and, you know, I don't know what to make of that, man. I really don't. That's a very, very much entangled web of experiences that kind of tie together, especially the fact that you do have, you know, some evidence to back up your claims and stuff. A lot of times people don't have a chance to take pictures, or they don't think about it. They're caught up in the moment. The fact that you've been able to do that is really cool. And I'm excited about checking that out after we get off here. So I definitely appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, brother. Take care. Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, there are 3 things you can do to help support the show. 1, go to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and review. And 3, you can go ahead and share the link to the show that you're listening to right now around social media. That will help expose the show to an audience that didn't know about the show beforehand. And until next week, friends, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. Bye.